to the Sports Reverence Podcast. My name is Dan. I'm joined with my co-host, my big brother. They call him Coach Joel. He has coached around the world, coached many greats like myself, and we are excited for what we got in store for you. Coach, why don't you tell us some of the excitement going around in your life?
All right. In my life? Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, this week it's been amazingly gorgeous, hitting almost 20 degrees, so that's exciting. Work's been okay. Church's life is good. And it's been a good week overall. Excited to get podcasting today. What's going on in your world?
Well, why don't you tell the world a little bit about the Toronto Chandran family growing?
Okay. Now, I guess we're dropping the news here today, hey?
Yeah, I think we need to.
I think we need to. That's fair. Sister, husband, and little nephew, the cutest guy there, have finally put a pen to paper and found a home to live in for the next little bit as they are moving from the tropical paradise of Australia to the frigid Winnipeg and now to Toronto, where they will never need their winter jacket ever again. So super excited about that. I think they're coming in the next couple of weeks. So that's really fun. Really fun and exciting.
I was going to say the Chandran family is growing in Toronto, but it's actually, they're the Kamala Swarans. So
yeah, Kamala Swarans. Good luck spelling that.
100%. I tried to get them a present once and decided to engrave his name on one of their wedding photos on a thing. And it costed an extra like $50 because there's like 75 letters in their last name. So it was great. Good times. Other than family coming through, I'm very excited for that. Also excited for the Easter season as well. Lots of good fun we're going to have and celebrating that and bringing more events and stuff at church and all that. So it's going to be a good time. So why don't you tell us a little bit?
I'll give one shout out.
Go ahead.
Jason Storchuk came, hung out. We saw TFC last week. That was super, super fun. He's a regular listener, so also my best friend. So shout out to Jason.
Shout out Storchuk. Also one of the coaches, the assistant coach. Maybe we need to have him on the pod one time.
I think you'd enjoy that.
Be a good time. Maybe he can bring in some of the footy expertise.
Yeah, he'll talk your ear off. That's for sure. That's great.
Why don't you tell us what we're talking about today in our show, and then we'll get into the rundown.
Awesome. So we got quick hitters today, as always. We're going to talk a little bit NBA, talking about is it fair to have a minimum games requirement to be eligible for some awards? We're talking about some NFL, bit of hits, misses. And we're also going to talk about how does faith tie in all of this? Keeping your eye on the prize, looking at should you go for the big swing for the fences or go for singles? And why don't you start us off with quick hitters?
Let's get into some quick hitter news. Sunday, March 17th is Selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament.
I might be sick the first weekend to watch all the games, so we'll see how that goes. Friday, March 15th is the quarterfinal draw for the Champions League. Lots of fun soccer coming up there.
Tough one for the Yankees. Gerrit Cole waiting for his elbow to be diagnosed to determine how long he will be out.
Will the Yankees survive without an ace? I don't know. It'll be tough. We have NFL free agency has hit upon us, and unlike NHL trade deadline, this was a lot of sudden fun stuff going on so far. Kirk Cousins left Minnesota with the Falcons. Baker Mayfield resigns with the Bucks. And 2 years ago, the hope of the New England Patriots has now been traded to Jacksonville.
Backup to the starter. Trevor Lawrence, Las Vegas Knights added Noah Hanifin, Thomas Hurdle, and Anthony Mantha. Okay, pretty good for the Vegas Knights. Hey, shout out to the Jets with some of the moves they made, the Winnipeg Jets.
Absolutely.
I'll do a sixth and supportive quick hitter news is spring training baseball has started, and it's been exciting watching some of these teams play all their players and get back. And I think that would be one of the funnest things to attend is spring training in Dunedin, checking out some Blue Jays baseball. I would love that. Before we go any further, let's handle some business. Urban Hope is our mentorship program that I get to run in downtown Toronto. We're basically a program that helps kids learn mentorship skills and then put them into practice. And we provide a safe place for students. We provide different programming weekly for the students as drop-ins and youth programs. And we also have affordable summer camps. We only charge $10 per student for our summer camps. So it's affordable for every family to attend summer camp as well. So we charge $10 per week for the summer camp compared to city summer camps that charge $200 upwards per camp. So we want to make it affordable for every student to be able to come and hang out and learn some biblical principles and learn some sports, learn about arts, and have a safe time doing that as well. If you are able to support in any kind of way, check out thesportsurbans.com/sponsors, and you can see the ways you can give right there. If you're giving over $20 and you live in Canada, you can actually be eligible for tax receipts as well. So please, if you can support in any kind of way, you can send a few kids to camp, you can support and see all the program details that we have of the cost. It costs about $25,000 in fundraising that we do every single year just to help the programs, the baseline of the programs as well. So every dollar that gets sent to Urban Hope goes towards the programs and all that as well. So please continue to give. Thank you for your giving, and thanks for tuning into the Sports Residents podcast. Let's go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great opportunities there for sure. Diving right into it. This is the first year that the NBA has enacted a minimum games requirement for players to be eligible for the Rookie of the Year, DPOY, Sixth Man, MVP, and any all NBA teams. They are tired of players sitting and resting and load management. They want to make sure the best product is out there. You know, we'll see. Some guys have already been knocked out of some races already.
Eliminated.
We're just, you know, not too far away from the All-Star game. So, Daniel, what do you think? Is this a fair rule? Is there, you know, is there a bit of bias towards the money-making scheme? What are your thoughts?
Well, imagine this. You are working full-time and your union steps in and says, you get to have a whole month's worth off of time on top of the already scheduled time off when seasons are over and playoffs over and all that kind of stuff. Imagine they came in and said, you actually have the right to take 17 games off. That's a month's worth of games in the NBA. And you're still going to get paid for it. You're still going to be fully compensated and every kind of bougie stuff that happens for NBA players. You get it all. You still get it all. No penalty. I think it's I understand it's about trying to keep players to play more games and encourage them. And I think we've seen that a little bit. But we still seen a lot that have sat out, a lot that are saying that they want to save themselves for playoff runs and all that kind of stuff. But what's sports science? If you look into the sports science of it all, it says you are actually supposed to be playing more and more intensely, especially at this time of the year, more minutes. I know everyone's talking about minutes and they blame Tom Thibodeau for playing too many minutes, which I think is just such a cop-out thing. But they talk about minutes and restrictions and you're setting yourself up for a better playoff run. Well, sports science tells you otherwise. The NBA has brought that forward and has shared that with all these teams and shared their information and has proven that it actually is better for players to be playing more minutes, more intense minutes. And this is the season to be ramping up the minutes for those players. I'll pass it back to you.
So I'm going to take a bit of a contrarian approach to this.
Okay.
I think, number one, it's a good thing to have a minimum requirement because from the fans' perspective, not everyone is, you know, upper white middle class or upper middle class where they can just afford season tickets and go. Whatever.
Why I gotta say white, huh? Why I gotta say white, huh? Forget them. You know, Indians, you know, Asians, they are the highest earners in all
right,
of America.
All right, relax here.
White America.
Y'all know what I meant.
What do you mean, y'all?
Not everybody's upper middle class, right? a lot of people save a lot of money to take their family to these games. And they're not sitting courtside. They're sitting in the top, where it's the cheapest. But they've saved all year. This might be kids' Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, whatever. And they're excited to see LeBron take on Kevin Durant. They're stoked for that. And all of a sudden, oh, my favorite player isn't playing because of load management. From an optics point of view, that sucks. Right? You hype yourself up. You're good to go. And all of a sudden, one of the main reasons why you're going is taking a break. And I totally get that. From a entertainment value approach, they need to do something different. Just like how the All-Star game is bogus and no one cares. You got to fix that. They're trying to stoke the responsibility of, hey, players, you are also an entertainment product. This is part of your job. And like, I think Vanessa Bryant said it one of the best ways was Kobe didn't care how hurt he was, just like much like Jordan. Both these guys knew that people paid hard-earned money to come see them play, right? And so I think from that perspective, the NBA had to do something, and I think it's fair. Now, from the flip side of, hey, we're trying to ramp up for the playoffs, we're trying to make sure my guys are healthy and trying to build team depth and whatnot, it's a bit of a conspiracy that the NBA provides their own sports science data that somehow conveniently says, play more near the end of the season, you'll get in better shape for the playoffs. I feel that's a bit of a controversial thing, just like how Roger Goodell is the judge, jury, and executioner of the NFL when it comes to player safety things, right? That's also not really what's, I think there's a conflict of interest there as well. So I understand from the player's side, hey, we don't want to get hurt, we don't do this. From the fans' perspective, I want to see my guys play. I came here to watch so-and-so. And especially when you think about it in terms of how fantasy has impacted the game, like fantasy sports, you know, people no longer cheer for teams most of the time. They're cheering for individual players. That's also, you know, twisted the game way games are watched. But I'm a bit conspiratorial on the NBA providing data about the sports science. But that's me putting my tin hat on and
let me get my Don Cherry jacket on. All right, you want to enjoy the honey, you want to drink the milk, you gotta put forward, you gotta wear the poppy. All right, put some respect and share that. And that's exactly the same kind of, come on, like, this is the NBA players, it's a privilege to play. And I think 65 games is a fair thing. I know the players complain about it. I think 65 games is fair, and it affects their wallet when they aren't playing that way. And that goes for massive, like Donovan Mitchell has just missed, who was going to be all NBA for sure. Missed 65 games, Joel Embiid, all that stuff that affects their wallet in a massive way compared to a guy like Jaylen Brown, who isn't in the MVP conversation as an all NBA player, but he's making $300 million. So it's a great incentive. And you see guys like Kawhi and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has missed less than 5 games this year, I'm pretty sure. Kawhi Leonard is still in the running for all that kind of stuff. So look, it has affected some of their, as they would say, that sure, they're not injured this year. So, but proof's in the pudding, and is what I think. So I agree with the 65 to answer the question. And I think you said you did as well. I think it's fair.
Yep.
I think it's fair.
I will say this though. If Kawhi doesn't win in 2019, I don't think this becomes a thing.
True. That's so true.
As much as I love that it's Kawhi and the Raptors winning, if they don't win, this whole idea of load management doesn't explode the way it did after. That's the one caveat I have.
Especially as like a Raptor fan, like I was okay with, I was okay with, okay, yes, Kawhi, you sit today. I don't care. I'm going to buy tickets to this game. I'm glad you're sitting, so you'll be ready for the playoffs. And I'm one of the, I don't know if I feel like that was like the heartbeat of Toronto. They were okay with it. Everyone else was like, that's garbage. But at the moment I was okay with it, but
People are offering to give this guy a free condo.
Yeah.
It's worth millions of dollars
Eat
just
for
him to stay.
Condo
You know,
free.
free everything.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're okay watching him sit when we think
Yeah.
we're going to win.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how this translates to your faith. Right? Can you load manage your faith? I'll let you start off. You know,
Yeah,
I think you have a...
I think load managing your faith, that's the Canadian Christian, I'll say North American Christian attitude. You know, you do the bare minimum. You did the prayer, you go to church here and there, and you'll pray once in a while. But the times you start to really pray or really go after it is when the boat's sinking or when the sky is falling, right? That's when you become serious. And I don't think that's the proper way of, or I don't think that's how we are intended to walk in these steps. You know, what we're intended to do is to every step of the way make it the most important thing of following God's plan, right? That's where we're going to go. And I'll pass it back to you before I go any further.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting we're talking about load management, because you know the Bible talks about running the race, right? And in your life, you don't know when your race is going to end. No one knows when they're going to have their time on earth be done. So if you're load managing your life or your faith, you're not taking what God has plan for you. You're not taking what God has asked of you. You're not going to be as obedient as you should be, because you think, oh, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it next week. Or I'm only going to go to church on Christmas and Easter, the big holidays. Right. And it kind of ties up, talks about, we talked about last week, and like, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Like, that's a simple little children's nursery rhyme. But it's so, I guess, you know, you would know better than I, but it's so theologically based, and is so, has so many layers to that, that it's not just for kids. It's for us every day, right? So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think just like how an athlete's going to ramp up towards the end of the season, we know that we're in the end times of the world, and we got to be ramping up our faith and putting in the hard work to get where we need to go.
Yeah, exactly. So I mostly brought up the sports science argument for the reason of saying, like, for the playoffs, the NBA said the sports science behind it all is that the more minutes you play in the regular season actually prepares you for the intense minutes that you're going to be playing in the playoffs. And you're playing more games in the regular season, you're traveling more, and this is the time to start ramping up your minutes to get to the because in the playoffs, most of the starters and the people that are going to play, you're going to be playing minimum 40 minutes a game, 40 minutes of intense play. And if you haven't done that at all, your body's not conditioned for that. And that's where you end up getting injuries and things like that. Just like in our faith walks, if we decide to, you know, take 7 days off from praying or reading the Bible, right? You're going to see that effect on your personal walk, your personal journey, and you'll literally feel it. And that's not the proper way of, it's supposed to be a desire to want to grow and want to learn more and want to strive for more of God in your life, right? And that's, I think athletes actually have that practice really, a lot of them have it like down really well in the terms of how they train their body, right? Even I know a lot of those guys that sit out games, they're still working out and things like that too. But they do have a good mindset in that sense. Yeah,
it's really interesting, because for practical, like, actual factual experience that I've had, all my teams, when I coach them, we run, and then we run some more. And when at the start of the season, we do a 55, maybe one or two guys make it. Maybe. Towards the end of the season, we're getting wrapping up for playoffs. I would say 75 to 80% of the team makes it. And that's that consistency. That's us doing it almost every day. That's putting the hard work. That's a lot of me yelling that I'm gonna kick you off the team. And a lot of it's that internal drive to this is the mark that I need to hit. How am I gonna get there? And pushing yourself to do better, pushing yourself to take opportunity. And it's really interesting to see these high level professional athletes, some of them taking a kind of an opposite approach, where it's like they'll go gangbusters for the first couple of months, take some time off, they want to rest their body, and then try and ramp that up in a very short amount of time for the playoffs. If you look at the bubble, that was the best thing for LeBron. Absolutely. When he had 3 months off to just work out, stretch, not get injured. And again, we have to put, if we're going to put an asterisk beside the 98-99 Spurs season, we got to put an asterisk beside the bubble championship, right? So I'm being very honest.
Do you think it's a worthy championship?
I think yes, because winning is winning.
Yeah, and putting an asterisk beside it doesn't mean it doesn't takes away from the championship.
It's still a banner. Now the in-season tourney, whatever, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But it's but when we put in an asterisk, it's just because saying, hey, something significant happened this season, which changed the flow of the game.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm with you.
When you put it in terms of, okay, I'm a high level athlete, I'm working hard, take a break. You can't just flip a switch and go. No NBA team, no sports team can just flip a switch and go, even though it may seem like it. Right. Those high level teams are operating at a high level the whole way through. The same thing with your faith. You can't just expect to say, okay, I'm going to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I'm going to get high on Thursday. I'm going to drink on Friday and go party on Saturday and then go to church hungover and expect God to do something. Right? That's counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. And then, oh man, okay, it's coming up to Christmas. Okay, I'm going to just take a 2-week break from everything. I'm going to read my Bible, sing the songs. Oh, it's coming up to Easter. Okay, I'm going to make sure I fast on Good Friday. Like, no, it's all, you can do all those things. I'm not saying God isn't going to do something because God's God, but you're not going to see the same level of growth, the same level of opportunity, the same level of movement in your life when compared to being consistent and doing things on a daily basis, right? It's just like losing weight. You look in the mirror every day. To you, you may think, oh man, I'm still a fatty. Right? 3 months down the line, somebody's going to be like, look at you. You lost some weight. And he's going to feel good about yourself because you're being consistent. And the same thing ties to your faith.
That's good. Coach, why don't you share, I know we didn't put this in the thing, but why don't you share commercial 2 on Train to Invest?
Sure.
And then we can switch.
All right. Let's switch over here before we switch topics here. Getting more business in. Train to Invest. We've been talking about this for a while. And if you're looking for something to help change your life, if you're looking to take your investments to the next level, if you don't know what you're doing with your RRSPs, if you have no idea what an RRSP even is, and you know you just have to do something different so you can retire, maybe you haven't even thought about retiring, check us out, www.train2invest.com. We provide an educational course which teaches you as an individual or as, you know, a family, how to become financially free. And similar to what we've been talking about, it's not a get rich quick scheme. It's not something where you're going to just turn $10 into $1 million overnight. It's about learning principles that are going to set you into a direction where you want to go. Maybe you want to pay for a wedding. Maybe you want to pay off your student debt. Maybe you want to set up in retirement for your kids. All sorts of things. If you're looking for a program that's going to teach you how to take your financial freedom into your own hands and not rely on someone else, check us out, www.train2invest.com. Download the free ebook and get in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you, and I look forward to helping you guys reach your financial goals. So let's look at topic number 2, the NFL. Free agency is upon us, and already we're seeing claims of some teams tampering in the tampering period, which is even weirder to me. So why don't we look at one of the trends is players switching teams within divisions, which is really strange in this brand new world of sports. What are your thoughts on that? Where's the team loyalty? Does that matter?
Team loyalty goes out the window when the team don't want to pay you, when the team don't put their faith in you. The biggest one, I think, is the Saquon Barkley, where he was their offense. He was like, people are saying he's 30% of their offense, but really he's like way more than that, because of him just being a threat on the field is opens up the passing game for them. And so for them not to spend the dollar bills on him is maybe they're saying he's past his prime on his way out. I don't think he's quite there. I think he has a few good years left and then still some average years after that. So Philadelphia jumped all over that, and now they have one of the best offenses. They already had one of the best offenses, makes me sick, in all of football. Now they have Saquon Barkley to the team, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, their tight end. It's Dallas Goedert. Yeah, it's like they're deadly now. They're absolutely deadly. And Saquon is just going to salivate at the chance to play in the New York Giants the next two games of every year going forward.
I think it's really interesting because in that one particularly, so sorry, Wyatt, your team's even getting even worse. But that one is particularly interesting because he did take up a lot of room. And I say room, it's defenses focused on him.
Big time.
Who's Daniel Jones gonna throw to? Who's gonna bail him out when the pocket collapses? Saquon is going to a team where he doesn't have to be the number one option. Right? And we see look at Christian McCaffrey, what happened with him. He moves to the 49ers, he did have multiple weapons, all of a sudden, he's got an easier way to put up numbers. We see this across sports all the time. Good players on bad teams move to a really good team. Andrew Wiggins is a good example. It unlocks their potential.
Yeah.
We see that Atlanta is looking to capitalize on a weak division. Ooh. Signing Kirk Cousins, giving him $90 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money. Can Baker Mayfield and the Bucks keep up? Does New Orleans even have a chance? I don't know. I think Pitts might actually get some balls thrown his way.
There you go.
And that's a scary thought.
That's nasty. That's a nasty lineup they got there. Atlanta is deadly. Huge. I think a huge, huge signing. If Kirk, now Kirk's coming off an Achilles injury. And
that's true.
He is a very vanilla guy, but I love everything Kirk Cousins, and I hope they do great. I really do.
Yeah, he's coming. They said he'll be back by mid July, so that gives him a lot of time to get reps in, and we'll see how that goes. Another team looking at cap.
Oh, I was just gonna say they were flirting with the idea of trading for Justin Fields, and then all this kind of stuff. But I think this is a way better move.
Way better, absolutely. It helps accelerate their timeline. They're taking an opportunity and moving on with that.
Yeah.
Titans looking to capitalize. Calvin Ridley, Pollard being added to the mix. Henry's going to Baltimore.
That's the one that is woo.
That's gonna King be one Henry. Running tandem duo.
Would you rather have to try to tackle Lamar Jackson or they give it the pitch it to Derrick Henry and have him coming at you downhill? Like, that is just absolutely deadly. It's a nightmare for defenses. Good luck. Good luck.
Good luck. Texans, Titans could be a force in the AFC South.
Titans, I just don't trust their quarterback play, to be honest. Like, Will Levis, is that their guy?
Yeah, he did all right. He did all right.
And all Gabe right, Davis, not great. Gabe Davis, I don't know how reliable he is. Like, he's missed a ton of games. Calvin Ridley, though, I think is a huge pickup and a huge loss for the Jaguars. So I think that's another story there of
addition by subtraction as well.
Yeah.
Texans adding Joe Mixon.
Sneaky
CJ
good
Stroud
sign-up.
really accelerated that build.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. They won a
So,
playoff game.
yeah.
That's crazy.
That's incredible. And we got the Pats. What are they gonna do? What is Gerard Mayo gonna do at number three? They've really
Yeah.
cleaned house, hey?
Big
Post
time.
Belichick era is just
It's still pretty mind-blowing that Bill Belichick doesn't have a job. Like, as much as I do not like the Patriots, he still
yeah.
has to be considered the best coach of all time, right? Like, he's done
Yeah,
it.
absolutely. I think part of that too is not the right opportunity as well.
Yeah,
Right? Like
potentially for sure.
the
Yeah,
Dallas
that's
job came open, I think he would have jumped on that.
that's probably after this year. Sadly to say.
Yeah,
The
that's tough. So
Cowboys finally made their first signing after Jerry Jones says, "I'm all in this year." He lets all the running backs, the positions we need to go to other teams, go within the conference, even like Saquon. And then we finally made a signing of a, I think a, I don't know, maybe a more on the aging end of linebacker. So yeah, we're praying for a draft class of greatness here. So who knows? Who knows? It's our
we'll
year
see.
though, right? Saddle
Yeah,
up.
that's we'll see. That's why we play the game. That's why we play the game. So one of the things we're talking about is on the faith side, aiming for a target. Right? We know the end game is glory in God with heaven. And in the NFL, what do really separates teams that are that win and lose is of course scoring touchdowns, but how they get there. Right? A team that can eat up a clock, get multiple first downs in a variety of ways, and then score is more likely going to win than a team that relies on one or two, three and outs before they score. Right? Rushing and thing. So how does being as sorry, as let me phrase it this way, as a Christ follower, how should you aim your focus on the end goal?
You know, we're called to walk. We've been talking about it a little bit already, like daily steps of following and living out our faith. You know, for men especially, you know, we have a lot of different challenges we face. You know, I try every morning to say, you know, Lord, guard my eyes, my mind, my hands, my feet, let them walk according to your plan. Because I know when my plan, if I let it go with my way, I'm going to end up doing things that aren't of him. You know, I'm going to look at things that I shouldn't, and I'm going to act the way I shouldn't, and all that kind of stuff, right? It's an incremental step, just like we talked about incremental steps for ramping up your minutes in the NBA. It's incremental steps to get to a touchdown. It's more important for you to get a first down. That's the number one goal, right? You get your first down first. That's the goal of your set of downs. Don't worry about the touchdown. The touchdown, you keep doing that, you're going to get there. And not all that, and obviously you're not going to score every time, but it actually keeps camaraderie as a whole. Like, your offensive line is not going to be disheartened from you guys changing the field position by getting three first downs when you're on the 1 yard line, right? It's a team thing of growing and the pursuit of the first down. And when you look at it in incremental steps, that's where you see the massive growth. You know, I think Kobe actually put it the best way. Kobe said, you know, you see guys that talk about, you know, jumping, elevating their game from greatness to legendary. You know, he said for himself, he said for what he learned from Jordan as well, is that he put in the extra hour, 2 hours a day, other than the other greats. And you add that up over 10, 15, 20 year time, right? That's how much more time that he has spent training, pushing himself more than anyone else, right? And it's the incremental steps that lead to the huge growth. And that's what it is with your Christian journey as well.
Yeah, I think it ties closely to what we talked about in the first segment and focusing on, hey, I'm gonna make a mistake. No one's perfect. You're gonna go three and out sometimes. But there's other times you're gonna go all the way and score. And it's about understanding what the end game is and how you're getting there and realizing, okay, I made a mistake this way. A, I recognize it's a mistake, which is step number one, which is great. How do I avoid that again? What kind of checks and balances can I put in place? How can I change the playbook, you know, to get me to where I want to go? And I think, you know, having somebody like a mentor, having a prayer group or a life group that you attend, and surrounding yourself with positivity, and even just saying in the mornings, like you're saying, pray for yourself. Hey, God, this is my day. I'm happy. Hey, number one, God, thanks for that. We have another day here on earth. And number two, let your will be done today. And just starting the day off like that helps set the tone for, okay, I'm looking to get my first down. Looking to get my first down. Looking to get my first down. And it helps you, at least for me, I think, helps you understand, hey, look, this is an opportunity to go for it. I've consistently knocked off my first downs. I'm at the 30-yard line. Maybe God's telling me to go for that touchdown. Talk to that person about church. Pray for this person. Take that step of faith. And you go for it. Because you've kind of built confidence in, hey, you know, I got my first downs. God's been with me. I feel this is my call to try something. Go for it. And yeah, I think that just like NFLs, it's about finding the right opportunity and understanding, hey, this is the right play to call at this moment in time to score a touchdown.
Yeah. And I think another thing that ties into this is surrender, you know, like quarterbacks that are able to know when to throw the ball away or know when to take a sack, you know, and know when not to. They have so much more success because they know there's a bigger goal ahead, right? The goal is to get that first down, not about this one play. You know, play callers, if they're going for it, if the focus is touchdown, they're going to be calling Hail Marys. They're going to be calling all these plays that are really not really are really not very percentage wise good plays to call, right? They're not going to be that successful. But when you're able to surrender, and you look at that in terms of your own life, right? What are you able to surrender? What are you going to surrender for God, right? Are you going to surrender some of your time or some of your the money that you have, or maybe it's something that you have been doing? Maybe I'm going to take time off of playing video games. This is speaking for myself here, playing video games for a few hours, and I'm going to dedicate that to whatever God wants me to do, right? So I think surrender plays a big piece in this role as well. It's another aspect of part of the journey and living and serving, where it's because not all the times are we going to have an opportunity to just go in and pray over someone, right? Maybe God's trying to do something within you. So I think that's an important as well.
Yeah, that's why knowing your playbook.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, that's why you just see that in CJ Stroud and how he plays and lives it out, right? He literally is so mature in how he plays. It's a mature player. It's a mature quarterback who knows when to throw the ball away. It's a mature quarterback that knows when to just dump it off, right? That you'll see that grow in yourself in your journey of faith as you practice that more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like again, knowing your playbook means taking time to read it and practice it and walk it through. And you can do some of that stuff on your own, sure. But it helps when you have a team together to provide that support, camaraderie, to build you up, to help pick you up when you fall. You know, a lot of times you'll see quarterbacks getting sacked. Most of the O-line comes to pick them up. And versus the guy who does the sacking, he's usually, you know, celebrating by himself, right? So I think having that camaraderie, having that group is really important for success. So I'll flip it to you. Last words, anything you want to cap off on, maybe a verse or something that's coming to your mind? How, you know, floor's yours.
Yeah, it's Deuteronomy 10 that's kind of been on my mind that kind of spurred the conversation is, you know, it says, what does the Lord your God require of you? only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, keeping the commandments of the Lord your God. And the way you do that, like we said, is not this, well, the way you get there is not just this overnight kind of practice. It's a every single day step, every single day training. Just like we train our body every single day, you got to eat what's right. There's three portions to it. You got to eat what's right. You got to sleep enough. You have to drink enough water. You have to exercise. I guess there's four that you talk about there. I think eating and drinking kind of go together. So there's three, and what you consume, and it's the same practice you got to put into your daily walk, and that's the point of why we want to do this podcast, right? We love sports. We see such we've learned such of these lessons so deeply through sports and through different coaches and mentors that we've had in our lives as well. And we want that to be an encouragement for you, encouragement to help others along the way, encouragement to help yourself along the way, and to see, you know, you grow in your Christian walk. So that's why we do this Sports Reverence podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks everybody for joining with us. Make sure you like us on Facebook, Instagram, all the other social medias, YouTube. Really helps us out when you like and subscribe and share. Any engagement is good engagement. So we love to hear your comments. We love to chat with our fans. And have a great and awesome week. And God bless you guys. Peace.
Peace.